Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
It's like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpets sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for A Call to Decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, my friends, and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 23 December 2025. Welcome to this broadcast. We're going to bring up tonight what I would call another hero in the army of Christ. We talked to Pastor Archer Pulaski several times here from Canada. We're going to talk to Dr. Charles Hoff. In Canada. He's going to share with you what it cost him to take a stand against this COVID nonsense. And I will say this right now. He's paid more of a price than about anybody I've known. He took a stand for any reason, but especially for the nonsense of COVID. Before we go there, though, as you know, we're not being off Thursday. Our staff will be taking off. And tomorrow night will be a rebroadcast. We'll back in office again Monday. And I'll be in office next week on Wednesday instead of Thursday, because Thursday's New Year's Day. So we'll be in office next Wednesday instead of Thursday. We'll be with you. I said back with you on air Monday night. But tomorrow night will be a replay. Thursday, nobody be in the office. But join you again as soon as possible. And next, on the 3rd of January, next year, we'll have another Bible study coming up, of course, as always. I'll keep your mind of that next week. But I hope you'll mark it in the calendar to join us on January 3rd, Lord willing, for another Bible study. All right? So we got a lot to talk about tonight. I'm going to read to you a little bit about, by the way, folks, if you want to call the office, it'll be open tomorrow until noon. All right? Till noon tomorrow at 800-777-4403. 800-777-4403. Or 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. Please, feel free to call if you need this, please. And if after office hours, leave a message because we check messages about every day. If you need to talk to me, I'll get back to you right away. I promise, as soon as I possibly can. So please feel free to call asking questions, place orders, what you want to do up until noon tomorrow. All right, then our office will be closed until, obviously, till Friday. So please feel free to call. We'd love to hear from you. Now, our guest tonight, a little bit of background by Dr. Charles Hoff. Dr. Hoff served as a family physician in Lytton, a small scenic village in British Columbia's Fraser Canyon, with a population of approximately 250 people. Wow, that's a big town, isn't it? The community was diverse, including a significant indigenous population, particularly from the Nakalas, Pumice First Nation. As a rural family doctor, Dr. Hoff provided essential health care services to a population with limited access to specialized medical care. Dr. Hoff faced simultaneous professional pressure from his employer, Interior Health, which revoked his hospital privileges, and CPSBC, which pursued disciplinary action against him. Now, what did he do? As the vaccines first rolled out in early 2021, Dr. Hall publicly questioned the safety, particularly raising concerns about the risk of blood clots and adverse effects he saw among his own patients. He also advocated for alternative treatments such as ivermectin. Oh, what a wicked man. What a wicked man this guy is. I mean, Derek, tell the truth, offer prescriptions that ivermectin is a marvelous, if you will call a drug marvelous. Ivermectin fits that description. He took a stand, and it cost him, folks, a lot. I'm not going to get all detailed about this. I'm going to let Dr. Charles come in and share his own story and his own information. And, of course, as always, open the phone lines up for your question next half hour. But, folks, understand this. Sometimes taking a stand on Christian values and virtues and convictions will cost. If it doesn't cost you in a world full of nonsense and sin, if you're not paying the price for being a Christian right now in the United States as well as Canada and other places, you're not walking in Christ very closely. If you're not paying the cost of being ridiculed and balked somewhere, somehow, you're not walking in Christ. You're compromising somewhere. Dr. Hoff said, I'm not going to do that. I have principles and convictions I must live by, and I'm not going to put my patients through this. I'm going to take a stand, and it cost him a lot, more than most people that I've ever met in my life are willing to pay. Dr. Charles, are you there?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
It is good to have you, and I love your accent. I really do. I like it. But anyway, welcome to this program. Please make yourself at home. I'm just an old hillbilly preacher down here in the hills of West Virginia, so not talking about anybody special. I'm just a servant of Christ just like you are. But before we get into the program and all about what happened to you, tell the folks who Dr. Charles Hoff is.
Well, I'm just a regular country doctor. I did my medical training in South Africa, and I moved to Canada in 1990. I was actually a draft dodger from the Angolan War. I was drafted to go and fight there for 2 years and didn't really agree with the way it was being done. It was like a Vietnam kind of war. And so because it wasn't in South Africa, it was a war in another country that South African troops were fighting against Cuba. And I didn't agree with it, and so I had to leave the country. So I went to Canada, which seemed to be a land of freedom and opportunity. And so I have worked as a rural medical doctor, mostly with the Native Indians, since that time, so now 35 years. And I moved to British Columbia in 1993, and I've been in the same community ever since. So this is a small community of mostly Canadian Native Indians. And I've got to know and love the people very much. And I felt as a family doctor and as a rural emergency room doctor, you can only really care for people when you really know them. So I enjoyed really knowing the people I cared for. And so when this pandemic came along, and the Native Indian people and the elderly were the first to be targeted for these COVID shots, I was deeply worried because there was no reason to suspect that these shots were safe. I had done some research and discovered that previous efforts to make vaccines against coronavirus had been a disaster, and specifically using an RNA platform. It was attempted after the first SARS epidemic in 2002, and this was also an engineered virus that came out of Wuhan in China. And after that outbreak of the virus was suppressed in 2003, scientists tried to make a vaccine against it using messenger RNA. But they tried it in laboratory animals. They never tried it in humans, and it was a disaster. It literally made those laboratory animals more vulnerable to the virus than if they hadn't been vaccinated. So when
excuse me interrupting, but would you explain what messenger RNA is?
Yeah, so messenger RNA is a little genetic sequence. It's a part of a gene that codes for making a specific protein. And in the case of this so-called vaccine, and of course, I think many people have realized now it wasn't a vaccine. It was gene therapy because it literally altered people genetically. But the idea was that the part of the coronavirus that our immune system recognizes is the spike proteins on the outside of the virus. And so the idea with this so-called vaccine was that they would get your body to make this spike protein by putting the gene for it into your body. And so your body would make all of these toxic proteins, which would generate an immune response, so that when your body was then exposed to the virus that has this protein on the outside of the virus, your body would have antibodies against it to protect you against the disease. That was the theory.
Well, let me ask you this, too. I don't mean to keep interrupting you, but this is interesting. Would that alter your personal DNA?
Yes. Well, initially they assured us it wouldn't, because normally RNA is rapidly deleted from the body literally in a few hours or at the most a day or two. But what we didn't know is that this was a laboratory engineered RNA that was extremely durable. This was not a natural RNA. And I mean, since then, we know that there was DNA in there as well, which literally does alter people genetically. So this was literally an attack upon the image of God to alter our genetics. And not only that, I mean, not only did it turn us into a sort of a factory making this toxic protein, which was why it was so harmful, but it also turned off other genes in our body. Like, one of the genes that it turned off is gene P53, which is the tumor suppressor gene. So, in other words, this is a natural gene that our bodies have to protect us against cancer. And that spike protein, which was laboratory engineered, was designed to turn off that gene so that your body's cancer defenses were turned off.
So that's why we see turbo cancers in young children right on up to adults.
Yes, exactly. In all age groups, there are these terrible cancers. So this was clearly an attack upon humanity. It was population reduction.
Wow. And I know this is probably a bit estimate at the best, but have you a percentage of how many people have died from the vaccine that's taken it, just roughly, any idea?
Yeah, you know, it's hard because this vaccine has caused people to die from almost everything imaginable, because it literally was designed to go into every part of your body, your lungs, your heart, your brain, your bone marrow, your reproductive organs, your kidney, everywhere. And so it was a brilliant, if one wanted to think of something incredibly evil, it was brilliantly evil, because it literally would make people die of almost everything, which covers its tracks.
Do you think it was intentional? You think that was intentional?
Yes, I do. I really think that this was intentional population reduction.
So it was a bioweapon?
Yes. I mean, bioweapons by their very definition are biological things, viruses or bacteria, that are altered to make them more harmful. So why would you make a disease more harmful unless you wanted to reduce the population?
And this, of course, was pushed on people worldwide. Harder in some nations than here, obviously. But what was the percentage that took the jab here and in Canada both? What do you think the percentage was? 50%, 80%? How many of them took the jab?
No, I think it was around about 80%. Well, there were a lot of people that took one shot and then woke up and said, I'm not having any more of this. So it may be that close to 90% between Canada and the U.S. took maybe one shot. I think in Canada it was something like 86% took two shots, and only about 50% took a booster. In other words, three or more. And I now have, know people that have had 10 shots, because they just go forever.
Oh, my. Well, now, how are they going to survive that? But anyway, one shot. Say everybody. Well, we got deceived into one jab, not a vaccine, but a jab. What are the odds of them being affected by that? I know they put out a lot of placebos also. I realize that. But those that got the real jab, what are the odds of them getting cancer or some other problem?
I don't think we really know what the odds are because, as you mentioned, a whole bunch of people got a placebo. It seems like about 30% of all the COVID shots were literally like getting a placebo. And I suspect that this was probably intentional. I don't think it was just poor production technique. I think they wanted a lot of people to be absolutely fine so that those that got injured by it, you know, their friends would say, well, I took it and I was fine. So, you know, I think it was to give it credibility. You can't have everyone being hurt because people would wake up.
That's very true. But worldwide, they forced this on people. I mean, literally in some places forced it on. And here also, you lose your job if you don't take it. You get kicked out of the military. Now, a lot of them are getting retribution now. A lot of them, by the grace of God, won the cases, going back to the job, getting back pay and punitive damages are paid to them also. But with all this happening worldwide, would you say the percentage of worldwide people that was forced to them, would you say 80% also in UK and other places?
Yeah, I think worldwide it was about 70% of the global population got at least one shot.
So,
but you know, in Africa it was much lower than anywhere else because, you know, in Africa, no one trusts the government, any government. I mean, Africa's got many countries and many governments. But the people of Africa know that their government is blatantly dishonest.
Well, they have been for years. They used Africa and the black population for many, many trial runs and all kinds of false drugs and vaccines.
Yeah. So in Africa, no one trusts politicians. They know that they're dishonest. So when they tell them to get a jab, they think pretty carefully about this because you're being, you know, if somebody who you know is dishonest tells you to do something, you should actually think very carefully about whether or not you follow their advice. Now, the trouble is when you're forced to do it because you're going to lose your job or you, whatever the reason is, you can't play sport or you can't go to church or whatever it is, that forces some people to do. Some people can't afford to lose their job. They're going to, you know, the bank will default. They won't pay their mortgage. They'll lose their vehicle or their car or whatever, or their house. And so forcing people to have an injection that had no evidence for safety. And by the time they brought in those vax mandates, the COVID shots had the worst safety record of any medical product ever marketed. I mean, there's nothing else that had killed and maimed so many people, even by that time. And yet, the governments still forced people to have it, which was very clear evidence of malicious intent.
And they're still available. They're still pushing them.
They're still pushing it. Oh, they are still pushing it.
So, I mean, there's no way I know you can know this because you said 30% of them may be placebos, and that's of course is a cunning play on the pharmaceutical company's part to downplay the seriousness of the jab. But those that receive the jab, just one jab, are you seeing a lot of side effects in most of them? You mentioned blood clots and other things. Are you seeing that in patients?
Well, that's what I saw in my own patients. So, you know, as I mentioned, I'm a small town country doctor who had at that time had the same patients for 28 years. So I knew these people very well, and I was deeply mistrustful of the safety of these shots because there was no evidence for their safety. It was something that looked like it had been rough. I mean, you can't approve the safety of any medical product in 2 months. It's ridiculous. You know, usually things are tested for years and years to make sure they're safe. And so I told the medical authorities where I worked that I had no confidence in the safety of these shots, and I would be an observer, that I was just going to watch and see what happened. So the first sign of any side effects, I sent an email to my colleagues in the neighboring town and in the town that I live in, just to alert them to the safety signals that were becoming evident. And so this wasn't a public announcement. It was just to doctors, nurses, and pharmacists in my area who were actually giving the shots, because I did not give any of these shots. I didn't believe they were safe right from the start. I was immediately reprimanded by the medical authorities. I was told I was putting people at risk by creating vaccine hesitancy. And I was told them that I was literally putting people's lives at risk because I was making them doubt the safety of the vaccine. So I was given a gag order and told that I was not allowed to say anything negative about these shots in the course of my medical work. I was told that I was going to be reported to the licensing authority that gives me the medical license, which in Canada is the College of Physicians and Surgeons. I was told that I was being reported for my offense of causing vaccine hesitancy. And I was told that if I had any questions about the safety of these shots, I was not allowed to speak to my colleagues about them. I had to speak to the medical health officer who was in charge of the vaccine rollout. So this was after the first shot. I started to see more and more side effects, serious side effects. So I wrote a letter to that medical health officer to ask her how, you know, what is this new disease that appears to have been created by these gene therapy injections, and how, as these people's doctor, do I treat it? So rather than getting a response, I mean, that should be a pretty appropriate letter for a doctor to write. But anyway, this was sent again as a complaint to my licensing authority, the college, because again I was breaching my gag order by questioning the safety of these shots. So rather than give me any response as to how I treat the vaccine injuries or anything else like that, they, you know, this created even more problems. So then I thought, okay, if that doctor won't reply, I'm going to send it to our top doctor. So that was our provincial health officer, who was Dr. Bonnie Henry. So I decided to send her a letter, but I'd been warned that she doesn't reply to letters, so you have to send it as an open letter. And so I wrote this open letter where I said to her, I told her how many people amongst my patients had been vaccinated and how many vaccine injuries I'd come across. And at that point, I think it was 1 in 125, the rate of vaccine injuries, but about 1 in 250 looked like they were going to be permanently disabled by it. And I didn't know at that point that my patients, these Canadian First Nations Native Indians, had been actually allocated the second most dangerous batch that was used in BC. I didn't know that we literally got a bad batch, because some batches were highly toxic and some were, as you mentioned, like a placebo. So God had placed me in this place as a whistleblower. So I sent a letter to the top provincial health officer informing her of what I was seeing. I mean, I was just a witness to what was happening, and it troubled me deeply. And so I sent this letter, and it went worldwide, because I was the first doctor to start pointing out the neurological problems that arose from the Moderna vaccine. So the response of the medical authorities to my letter was, firstly, they sent a letter to every doctor right across the province, and every other province did the same thing, warning that if any doctor spread misinformation about COVID or the COVID vaccines, that they would be investigated and punished. That was their response to me trying to tell them that it was going really badly, that my patients were being hurt. They called my letter misinformation.
Just for purely asking the question,
but also for alerting the public to what I was seeing. They did not like that.
And How did your patients respond whenever you told them that you don't recommend it? You didn't want to give them a vaccine. How did they respond? Did most of them take it anyway?
Yeah, most of them took it anyway because the government, they were watching their television. They thought that COVID was this terrifying killer disease that was going to kill them unless they got vaccinated. And so they didn't know who to believe. Do they believe what the top authorities are saying, or do they believe me? And of course, the media in my area was putting out articles saying that I was spreading misinformation and what I was saying was not true. So the media was slandering me and discrediting me. And my patients then thought, well, that's strange. You know, we've really trusted this doctor for 28 years, but now he seems to have gone off the rails. You know, because I couldn't talk about which patients had got what. You know, that's confidential. All I could say is this many people got vaccinated, and this is what I've seen. You know, and so I could literally give a rate of vaccine injuries. And so the response of the medical authorities to my letter announcing what I was seeing in my own patients was firstly to send a warning letter to every other doctor, which was literally like a gag order to the entire medical profession. And the response...
Go ahead. Yes, please. Go ahead.
I was going to say the second response was they referred me to the top vaccine safety specialist who assured me that all the vaccine injuries that I was seeing could not be from the vaccine. They were all coincidences. And this doctor told me that without any investigation of my patients in any way, they just wouldn't accept that these vaccines were causing harm and told me I was wrong. And that I had, you know, they had the diagnosis wrong. It couldn't be from the vaccine. I mean, they didn't know what it could be from. But because I said, I have been these people's family doctor for 28 years. I know them very well. They did not have these problems before they had that shot. And this was all after the first shot.
So, how many patients died from it?
Amongst my patients, well, I mean, so, you know, it's hard to say. I mean, since then, there have been many cancers and heart attacks and stroke. It's hard to say. I mean, I only had one patient that died suddenly and unexpectedly a couple of weeks after his shot. Only one out of about 1,000. And even with that one, when I tried to report the vaccine, because there was a form that you're supposed to fill out to report vaccine injuries. So I reported 14 of them, and every single one was censored by public health. They said, nope, these are not vaccine injuries. These are all coincidences. They were literally blocking. I mean, a doctor couldn't report the vaccine injuries.
Wow. Do those in authority, do you think they knew that they were lying? All of them? Do you think all of them or most of them knew they were lying about this?
Well, the top ones definitely knew they were lying because we've now, through Freedom of Information Request, we've now got their emails.
And, okay, hang on through the break. Please don't lose that thought. Please. Got a lot more talk about it, and I'll give you a story in a minute. And folks, the lines will be open in a few minutes at 717-300-1698. 717-300-1698. Don't y'all go away.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling Demand of Foods, the best in store foods bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give Demand a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to Nemana.com. Mention the Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406 274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us, and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. superiormountainherbs.com.
Hello, James McKenna here for JMCC Water Filters. We're having two amazing specials on the Gravity Water Filter Elements. This is for the Berkey-style water filters. Our own HI water filter elements, the best two-stage water filter elements you can buy, and also the least expensive. On sale, $199 for a four-pack, $378, that's $20 off. For an 8-pack, you buy 8, we send you 10. And the 12-pack, an amazing $100 off. That's for $497 for a 12-pack, and we send you 14. Also, the whole house water filter, typically $1,480, now on sale for an amazing $699. Call Pastor Butch office, 800-777-4403. That's 800-777-4403, while this amazing sale is still on. Thank you.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Netty, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Netty, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill.
Folks, we are back even talking to Dr. Charles Hoff. This man, we haven't got into what cost him yet. He's just trying to warn people what's happened with the COVID jab and what happened to his patients and how he's been attacked and turned down and by his so-called superiors for exposing this. And Dr. Hoff, I want to get your information on what happened when you took a stand, but. So you were turned down, you were mocked, you were ridiculed by anything you think of. It was done to you because of your stand. So what you were making a point before we went to break. Finish that point if you don't mind. Are you there, Dr. Charles?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yes. We can hear you. Go ahead. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay, yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I discovered I was trying to every doctor should be concerned about public safety and patient safety, and that's all I was doing. I was trying to alert people to harm that I saw from these COVID shots, and that was met with denial and discrimination and persecution by the authorities. So, I found that I couldn't report the vaccine injuries because the vaccine reporting was literally censored higher up by public health so that you couldn't report them. Everything was just rigged. So I'd been given this gag order and told that I wasn't allowed to say anything negative about the COVID shots. And I'd worked as an emergency room doctor for close to 30 years in Canada. And a patient came in who was vaccine injured, but who I knew had already had a COVID infection a couple of months before, and it was very minor. The COVID infection was very minor, and then this person had their shot and got way more sick from the shot than they got from COVID. So this person came into the ER because they thought something must have gone wrong. You know, this is supposed to be a terrifying virus, but it didn't make them very sick. But now they get the shot that's supposed to be safe and effective, and the shot made them very sick. So they came in, and I explained to the emergency room nurse, I said, this person has natural immunity to COVID. The fact that when they got COVID, it was a minor issue. It wasn't as bad as the flu. It was a minor ailment. Shows that they had natural immunity from the exposure to the other coronaviruses that go around every cold and flu season. So I said to this nurse, please just tell the patient she doesn't need another COVID shot. She's got natural immunity, especially if the COVID shot had made her worse than the virus. So on the basis of me telling the emergency room nurse that a patient didn't need another shot, I was instantly fired on the spot with no hearing, no questions. I got a phone call to tell them I was relieved of my duty, followed by a registered letter, and that was the end of my career as an emergency room doctor for literally saying what should have been obvious. I mean, anyway, and then so I then had to go. I got a wife and four children. I had to call a family meeting, call them together because I was their only breadwinner. And I had to say to them, look, I just need to let you know we have just lost 50% of our income because I've lost my job in the ER. Fortunately, I still did have a medical license so I could work in my private practice, but we'd lost half of our income just like that. So they were pretty unhappy about that. Yeah, they were not happy. And you know, my marriage was on shaky ground because, yeah, things hadn't been good for a while. But this made my wife, who is now my ex-wife, extremely uncomfortable that I was resisting the authorities in order to try and warn people about what the authorities were actually doing to them.
So your wife more or less left you because you took a stand.
Yes. Well, yeah. So after that, then I started then doing some research to try and, you know, I'd ask the medical authorities, what's going on? Why have my patients got all these symptoms? And they were neurological problems of weakness and pain and loss of function of different parts of their body. And the authorities said, no, it's not the vaccine. These are all coincidences, and it made no sense. So I knew I needed to start trying to figure this out for myself. You can't treat an illness unless you know what's causing it or you knew what went wrong, just like you can't fix a car unless you understand how the engine works and what's gone wrong with it. You've got to understand the mechanism. So I was put in touch with some brilliant doctors. It was an international group called Doctors for COVID Ethics, and they were from the U.S. and Canada and Europe, you know, Germany and England and various different countries. And they'd heard about my open letter that I'd sent out, and they invited me to join this group. And we would have these discussions, Zoom discussions each week, trying to figure out what were these shots doing to people. And so the suggestion was made that because these spike proteins that the messenger RNA gets your body to make, they're going to be made in the cells around your blood vessels because that's where absorption occurs. Absorption from your bloodstream draws whatever molecule it's absorbing into the cells around the blood vessels. So that was where all these toxic spike proteins were going to be. But your blood vessels are supposed to be smooth so that the blood cells can flow smoothly through those vessels with no resistance. But God has made us in an awesome way where we have something called blood platelets. And what these platelets are little blood cells that recognize recognize a damaged blood vessel and block it. So this is a way that our, when you cut yourself, it's blood platelets that, when they come through that vessel, hit that damaged spot, they instantly trigger a clot and block the vessel, and that's why you don't bleed to death. So we figured that these spike proteins in the vessel walls would inevitably cause blood clots. It was just guaranteed because of where they were. They were just in the wrong place. That as soon as you've got these little spikes sticking into the through the lining of the blood vessel, when a platelet comes down that vessel and it hits this rough spot with the spikes, it's going to trigger a clot. So we figured that because absorption from the bloodstream happens mostly in capillaries, which are the tiniest blood vessels,
yes, yes.
Like in your lungs, and you know the tiniest blood vessels. These clots are going to be so small that you won't be able to see them on a scan. So we figured the only way to find out if this is actually happening is with a blood test called a D-dimer test. So this is a blood test that's often done in emergency rooms to see if a person has a blood clot somewhere in their body. It doesn't tell you where it is. It just tells you if the blood has recently clotted. So I started, as my patients were coming in, I started trying to find people. I thought, well, I've got to find people that are going for their first shot and ask them if I can do a blood test, do a D-dimer test to get a baseline, to get a baseline number on them, and then 1 week after their shot, do the same blood test again and see what the difference is, and see to try and figure out what percentage of people are getting microclotting from the COVID shots. So I started doing this on my own patients, and when I literally got the first eight people's results back, five out of the eight were positive for clotting, which works out at 62%. 62,
wow.
And these were not vaccine injured people. These were people who thought their shot went fine. These were people who thought their shot was keeping them safe, and yet they were filled with microscopic blood clots all over their body, you know, that they didn't even know were there.
So when I
thought maybe it would be like 5%, but when it was over 60%, I was horrified, and I could not keep silent. So I had an interview coming up, and because none of the other doctors would say what these shots were doing to their patients, these interviewers would ask me, just tell me, what are you seeing? But I said, well, let me tell you what I've been doing to try and see what this is actually doing to people. And I spilled the beans. I said, I've only got eight people's results back, but five out of the eight are positive for clotting. And because these are microscopic clots, you can't see them on a scan. It doesn't give you a heart attack or a stroke. They're just scattered through your whole body. So, of course, this went around the world because it was the first time anybody had done this. And so literally about a week after that, our entire town burned to the ground. My office, the emergency room that I'd been fired from, this was a firestorm that started right on the edge of town and just ripped through that town on a really hot, windy day and just annihilated the entire town. So I lost my medical practice. I lost my stethoscope. I lost everything, all my medical records. Everything went up in smoke in this firestorm. And so,
wow.
So fortunately, by the grace of God, my house wasn't in that village. It was just, you know, it was upwind of the fire, and my house survived. But that was the last straw. When that happened, then my wife launched litigation against me to literally try and take me for every last cent I had. And
wow,
that hasn't
so
finished
sorry
yet.
For that.
Yeah,
sorry for that.
Yeah, so I mean that's 4.5 years ago, and it hasn't finished yet. She's still at it. So you know, this whole crazy thing, it cost me my job in the ER. It cost me my reputation. It cost me my medical practice. It cost me my wife, my family. But I still have my faith in Christ, and my integrity.
Amen to that. And we got a couple, we got calls coming in very quickly though. But you were reinstated. Your case was withdrawn, right?
Yes. So, because of what I had done, I Yeah, I actually went after this. I didn't realize they were coming for the children. They then were now authorizing this for children. And, you know, COVID was no risk to children. It really wasn't. And so it was absolutely absurd that they were trying to force these kids to get these shots for a disease that was of no risk to them. And so I went on a speaking tour with another doctor across Western Canada, trying to warn parents to keep their children safe. And so then the authorities really came after me, because I was going town to town trying to warn people. And so they laid charges against me. So eventually, by the grace of God, I got a really, really top-notch Christian lawyer who recruited 8 world experts to deal with each of the areas of accusation against me. And I had people like Dr. Peter McCullough and Dr. Jim Thorpe and Pierre Corey. And you know, anyway, I had 8 each of the areas of accusation. We basically got the world expert in that. And when the college saw all this evidence, because before a trial, you've got to show the other side what evidence you're going to draw on before the trial, usually a couple of weeks ahead. And as soon as they saw what evidence I had to back up why I had said what I had said, the first thing they did was they applied for something called judicial notice. And so this is a legal tactic in Canada where they get the court to declare certain facts to be irrefutable. So the first fact that they wanted declared irrefutable is that these shots are safe and effective. And so if the court had said, and their reasoning was, these are approved by Health Canada, so therefore they're safe and effective. I mean, you don't need anything else. Like, if Health Canada approved them, then they're safe and effective. And so if they had given judicial notice to the college that was trying to, and this is a way of burying evidence, none of the testimonies of my expert witnesses would have been allowed to have been presented in court, and I would not have been able to even speak about the vaccine injuries that I'd seen in my own patients. So wow. I was on my knees before Almighty God asking for his intervention, because this tactic had been massively misused in Canada more than 40 times to bury evidence and just to railroad justice. So fortunately, by the grace of God, the court did not grant judicial notice, and I was therefore going to be allowed to present this evidence. And so when the college saw that they could not bury the evidence, they just dropped all the charges.
Amen. I want to interrupt you. We got a call coming in. Let's go to Debbie in Illinois. Debbie, welcome. What's on your mind, sweetheart?
Hi. Oh, my goodness. It's just tragic what you've gone through, doctor. Thank you for your bravery and speaking out for humanity. Thank you, Pastor Butch, for having doctor on. I have a question about the swabs. We were told we had to take the PCR tests before surgeries. And they stuck those swabs up our nose, and according to other doctors, they were hydrogelled, and they infected us with nanobots. Some did, some didn't. Like, some of the shots were bad, not all of these swabs were bad. But have you got any information on this type of swab?
No, you know, unfortunately, I've heard exactly what you're talking about, and as you said quite correctly, it just as not all the shots were equally bad, not all of these tests were either. But the fact that there were things in these tests, you know, that they were doing that were clearly harmful to us, just as with these shots. I mean, so yeah, I don't have much information on it, but the fact that they were forcing people to have these things was just profoundly evil. But before this pandemic, it was one of the foundational principles of medical ethics that you never force anyone to have a medical treatment that they do not want, and you never force anybody to have a test that they do not want. And
correct.
All of that went right out of the window. And It was absolutely terrible.
Okay, now that's another issue. Have you heard of the Cures Act from 2016 in the United States? It was signed into law by Barack Obama.
No, I did not hear about that act yet.
Okay. In Section 3024, clinical testing of investigational medical devices and drugs no longer requires the informed consent of the subjects if the testing poses no more than minimal risk to the subjects and includes safeguards. Now, who exactly determines the minimal risk are the same perpetrators. It's the pharmaceutical companies, the politicians. There's no real safeguard. So there's an act at www.stop3024.com. So we no longer have the right to our body to say what we can, you know, take into
That's
our
true.
Bodies.
Yes, yes,
and,
exactly.
And don't you wonder, don't you wonder that this was set up before COVID? They knew it was coming under Obama.
Yes.
So they had this pass. So when COVID come in, people wouldn't have a right to do this. Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I think they had clearly planned this long before. You know, the word COVID didn't appear in this pandemic. You know, there was a COVID contract that DARPA, which is the U.S. military, had awarded the year before the pandemic for some research on some. So this was, and the fact that there are multiple patents on that spike protein and on the virus that had been done by the U.S. military and by Moderna showed that this was not a natural thing. This was a man-made disease, and of course, using the media to terrify everybody so that they were ready for the shots was just one of the most evil things imaginable.
Yes, it was.
Yeah. It is terrible. I think too that they're merging the synthetic biology with electromagnetics and the nanotechnology. This is going to maybe go into the microchipping.
Yes, this is connecting us to merge with computers, so to speak. This is part of it. I'm sure it is. And this is all part of the plan. But Debbie, anything else you want to say? I hate to jump, but I must get going. Anything else you
want
to say?
No, that was what I wanted to ask questions about and make comment on Section 3024 we could repeal.
You,
yeah, you're welcome.
Thank you. God bless. Folks, I mean, what else can you say? You heard something. This is not all the price he's paid, but it's a huge cost it has cost our brother to stand for the truth in Christ and with integrity that Christ had given him and commanded him to stand with. And the church in America, the church in Canada, the church worldwide, but I'm talking about here in America and Canada, failed Christ tremendously with this COVID nonsense, this COVID hoax. The church failed because of fear. And believe me, folks, according to Revelation 20, the fearful will not enter the kingdom of heaven. They're the first cast out. That's in your Bible. Read for yourself. We're down about the last couple minutes here, Dr. Charles. What do you want to tell the folks in closing?
Well, I think the most important thing that we need to learn from this is that that pandemic wasn't a natural thing. It was engineered both medically and politically. And so they're going to do it again. You know, one thing I learned from a wonderful brother in Christ who's a police detective told me that the strongest predictor of future behavior is past behavior. People who have tried to do evil to you in the past will probably do it again. People who have been dishonest in the past will probably do it again. So there is such evidence of malicious intent from the governing authorities and their persecution of medical whistleblowers and their suppression of truth is absolutely unprecedented. So the church failed terribly in this pandemic because it showed that it was literally no different from the rest of the world. It was just as easily captured by the fear as those that did not know God.
Well, now you know how the Antichrist is going to come in power out of fear. We're about out of time.
Out of fear.
One more quick question. Are you back in practice now?
Yes, I am. Yeah. So fortunately, because they dropped all the charges against me, so I'm not back in the emergency room, and I'm okay with that. I've done my time. I did 30 years of that, and I'm good. But I still know. So I still can be a family doctor, and I'm still able to earn a living. So praise God for that.
Well, have you seen any further repercussions because of the jab with your patients?
Well, I've seen some terrible turbo cancers in my patients. Just absolutely horrifying. We just take it as it comes. But, you know, one last thought. When this whole pandemic hit, and I knew I was going to be in the front lines as an emergency room doctor, and I was concerned for my own safety and the safety of my family and wondering if it was even safe for me to go home from work and whether I was going to take this virus home and infect them. And then I read Psalm 139 and in Job, I think it's Job 14, maybe it's Job 16, that says that God ordained the number of our days before we were born. And
Amen.
That took away all of my fear from the virus, that no virus or anything else was going to change what Almighty God had ordained.
I did not respond
in fear.
You're not leaving until your time is up. Now, people want to find out more about you. Do you have a website, or how can they find out more about Dr. Hoff?
Well, yeah. there is a website that somebody else runs for me. It's drhoff.ca. Hoff is H-O-F-F-E. So it's dr and then hoffe.ca, and it's just got a few links to some speeches and interviews that I've done that people might find helpful. But I don't actually. I'm just a regular country doctor. I've never somebody that ever wanted to ever be in the limelight or to be.
I understand.
Yeah.
I understand.
So yeah.
Well, Doctor, we're running out of time so quickly. And thank you so much. And please, I'd like to keep in touch with you if you don't mind.
Yeah, I know. I'd be thrilled to, Pastor, at any time. You know, I really appreciate what you're doing to try and educate and inform people. You know, we're both just, functioning from different areas, different realms, but we're doing the same work is to spread
Amen.
Truth. And yeah.
Amen.
So thank you. It's been a privilege talking to you, and I'd be happy to do it anytime you wish.
We'll get together again next year. How's that?
Sounds good.
Okay. God bless you, brother. Talk to you
Thank
soon.
Thank you.
Folks, what can I say? You heard, in my mind, a hero in Christ. Just like Pastor Arthur Pulaski. A hero in Christ. And it cost this man tremendously. His own family deserted him. I don't know how to... that's a big thing for anybody that loves your family. And I know he does. But he loves Christ more. By the grace of God, I'll see you again Monday night. But tomorrow night will be a rebroadcast. Don't miss it. I think you're going to enjoy it. And I will see you next week. Have a wonderful week. Please spend time with your family, folks. Enjoy it.
This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.